Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I would like to thank the founders of the Theta Network for giving me this wonderful opportunity to bring this show to the public, where we will be talking about Reiki and all things surrounding Reiki, its discovery, roots, practice, and more. We will be discussing spirituality, awakening, enlightenment, self-development and growth, self-help, many things that involve helping oneself and one's health, healing, growing, also all things metaphysical, alternative holistic modalities, and all of that wonderful good stuff. I'd just like to let my listeners know that in the coming months, June or July, we're going to have Pamela Miles as a guest on the show. And Pamela is an author of Reiki books, and she travels all around with her, talks and lectures and classes on Reiki. Stay tuned and keep your eyes peeled for the show schedule. If you would like to know more about me, my website is www.violetrosereiki.com. You can find me on Facebook as Violet Rose Reiki. You can also send me an email to rose@violetrosereiki.com. And there's also a page I have on Facebook, which is called Reiki Ward. Reiki Ward is a page dedicated to distance healing to everyone around the globe, whether it be human or animal. Just go to Reiki Ward. It's under pages, and you can put in your Reiki request, your healing request or your situation request, and it will be posted. And all of the wonderful, fantastic practitioners who make up Reiki Ward and are part of Reiki Ward and always are there generously giving of themselves to send healing and prayers and blessings, they will get on it right away and start sending healing. Reiki Ward does about 2 to 3 rounds of healing daily. And your request is also placed on our healing crystal grid for 24/7 energy healing. My guest tonight is Sam Leibowitz. Sam is the conscious consultant. He is a mentor, coach, speaker, healer, and serial entrepreneur. He has been in business for himself since 1993 and has owned several successful businesses, including a software consulting firm, a video publishing business, and an internet business for aerospace engineers and managers. His current ventures include Talking Alternative Broadcasting, an internet radio station which reaches over 110 countries worldwide, The Conscious Consultant, a coaching and mentoring service which promotes sensible, ethical, moral, and conscious ways to build careers and businesses, and Double Diamond Wellness, a healing center to which Sam brings his high-level business and intuitive skills. In these various roles, Sam has inspired hundreds of people to live that are happier, healthier, and more fulfilled. Sam has lectured in several venues in New York City, including the New York City Job Fair, Lee Hecht Harrison's DBM Outplacement Solutions, East West Books, Quest Bookshop, and the ARE Edgar Cayce Center of New York. And Sam was also a featured speaker at the New York Business Expo. That's a little bit about my wonderful guest tonight. And I also want to throw in there, I had a hands-on healing session with Sam a couple of years ago, and he is an excellent, wonderful, fantastic healing facilitator. So if you guys want to check out Sam, he is on Facebook under, I believe it's Sam Leibovitz, but we'll confirm that with Sam when he gets on the show. Let me see if we have Sam here with us now. Hey, 646. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm so happy that you consented to doing this show with me. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, it's my first time being interviewed on a Blog Talk radio show.
Well, it is a first time for everything.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, yeah, you can...
I just hope Blog Talk cooperates with us because it seems to have been a little wacky these past couple of weeks, but we'll hang in there. If any chance you get disconnected, just call back and I'll do the same.
Okay, you got it. Mm-hmm. And, yes, the people can find me on Facebook at either Sam Leibovitz or you can also find me at The Conscious Consultant. And we also have Facebook pages with Double Diamond Wellness and Talking Alternative.
Oh, great. Okay. Wonderful. And if anybody forgets that and they just, you know, remember Violet Rose Reiki, by all means, send me a PM or an EM or whatever you want on Facebook or at my website and say, where do I get Sam? And I'll direct you. So not a problem.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight, Rose. I really appreciate the invitation and appreciate you having me on your show.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'm just, it's great. I mean, you were in my mind and I'm like, I have got to get him, you know, thinking of my guests and everything. I'm like, I've got to get Sam because as I said at the outset of the show, that healing I had from you in Manhattan that time was absolutely fantastic. I need another one though.
Well, my work has probably grown and changed a little bit from then, so I'd be curious what you think of it now.
Oh, I see it has. Believe me, Sam, I'm not so, I'm always running around and I'm not so big on connecting with everyone I know on Facebook, but I do keep my eyes peeled and I'm watching all my friends and, oh, this is even that and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, definitely, I would love to experience the new stuff, so to speak. Start with, how did you decide to become a healer?
Good question. You know, I really didn't decide to become a healer. It's just healing work kind of found me. I started taking several seminars. I think I started with the Sedona Method and then the Journey. And then several others, as well as, you know, Reiki. I studied under a wonderful, wonderful Reiki teacher who was very spiritual in her orientation, which was perfect for me.
Her name is
Myra Rodriguez.
Okay.
She had, I actually met her through a friend who I knew through the Journey work. And she has a very, very large following down in Puerto Rico, which is where she's originally from. But I believe, I haven't spoken to her in quite a long time, she's married a man from Egypt, and now she spends her time sort of between Puerto Rico and Egypt and New York once in a while. I haven't seen her in a really long time.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Okay, so...
And so after taking a lot of these healing seminars, then I was taking this one with this teacher, very interesting method of instantaneous healing, Cam Ewan, who's an amazing, amazing healer himself.
Cam Ewan.
But
I know
not
Cam
a good
Ewan.
Teacher. You know Cam Ewan. So I was sitting there in this class, and it was really funny how I found him, because it really wasn't me, it was my wife. She was really kind of on this mission to, like, find great healers and stuff. And I remember I was at a party up in the Bronx that was, like, a really tiny, intimate, small political fundraiser for this guy who was thinking of running, or who was going to run for city council. Somebody I had met out in Queens, actually, because he knew I grew up in the Bronx, said, oh, why don't you go? You'll meet people. You go in your old neighborhood. It'll be fun. So I went, and it was kind of interesting, and I was being a social butterfly, talking to this one and that one, handing out business cards right and left. And my wife was just sitting there and talked to this one older gentleman, like, the whole time, and he told her about these two amazing healers, one faith healer up in Connecticut, and then Cam Ewan. And so she was... We drove up to Connecticut. She had to see this faith healer up there. And then she was trying to get an appointment with Cam Ewan, which, you know, his office isn't the most organized. So she'd call up and leave a message, and no one would get back. And she tried again a few weeks later, and the same thing would happen. And then she was looking on his calendar online, on his website, and she noticed he was going to be here for the New Life Expo. So she said, I'm going to try one more time. Either I'm going to get him or I'm going to forget it. Called him up, got through to somebody, and arranged to get a session at the New Life Expo while he was here. So we go to the New Life Expo. We're waiting for him in the lobby where they told us to wait for him. He never shows up. We go up to the room where he's giving his lecture, and we come up to him after his lecture, and we're like, hey, you know, we're waiting for you. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, they didn't tell me where to wait for you. I didn't know. You know, we can, if you have time, we can do it now. And we're like, yeah, we can do it now. So we go, and we, like, couldn't find a quiet place to do it. So we end up, like, literally in the stairwell. and so he's doing the session, like he did a half hour for my wife and a half hour for me. And I mean, not that I necessarily felt really different afterwards, but, like, the things he said and the things he did, I was like, how does he know that? And how did he know that? And how does he know that? And then, like, how come he said that? So I was really very curious about it. So I said to my wife afterwards, I said, you know, I think I want to take his workshop this weekend. Do you want to come with me? And, you know, she had been working a lot. She was tired. She's like, no, you go. I'm going to stay home and rest. I'm like, okay. So I go to his workshop. You know, first time I've taken his class, was level one. And there's probably 50 people there. And, you know, as with most of these healing workshops, they work kind of the same, where, you know, you kind of go in, they give you the background and the history of how it developed. I mean, Cam, he was just reading through the book. And then the second day, they have you kind of pair up and practice on people. And so the second day after lunch, they asked if any volunteers wanted to come up and if anyone wanted to get a healing and someone wanted to work on them to kind of demonstrate it, you know, and have someone in class demonstrate it. So this one woman raises her hand, and they call on her, and she says, oh, I feel really sick. My lungs are all congested. I think I'm going to come down with the flu. I'd really love someone to work on me. And say, okay, anyone like to try working on her? And not that many people raised their hands, because most people were kind of scratching their heads going, how the hell do you do this again?
Yeah,
so I was dying. you know, and if you know Cam Ewan, it's you know, you kind of get it. But, yeah. You know, I had just been doing all this work and this Reiki stuff and journey work, and so my intuition had I was really working on developing my intuition, and since it's a very intuitive modality, I was, like, dying to try it out. So I'm in the back of the room waving my hand around to say, okay, why don't you come on up and work on her? And so I'm kind of nervous, and so I just kind of tune in, and I do the method as best as I could, the way he described it. And after, you know, literally maybe 5 minutes tops, you know, I work on her, and then I stop, and I turn to her, and I go, so how do you feel? And so the woman looks at me with these big eyes and goes, oh, my God, I can breathe. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a good thing. She goes, no, listen. She takes this deep breath. You hear that? There's no congestion. I go, wow, that's great. She goes, no, you don't understand. I've had chronic bronchitis since I was 6 years old in South Africa. I haven't been able to breathe like this since I was a little kid. So needless to say, I was floored that, like, in such a short time, I basically helped this woman to let go of a condition that she had had almost her entire life. And so that I was all excited. When I came back that night, I had dinner with my wife, and it's like telling her all about it. I was like, I got to do something with this. I don't know what to do with this. You know, I'm a business consultant. I work with people, but, you know, I can help people with this. And
we
were talking about it.
And now I've got to use the right half. What do I do?
Right. And so that's when sort of this whole idea of being the conscious consultant was born. And I thought, you know, why not? And then, you know, I started to think back to all these healing seminars I took. And, you know, it was so funny because I would always get paired up with, like, the most difficult people to process. You know, I mean, I would, you know, when everybody else took, like, 20 minutes to process somebody, I'd be there with them a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, because they were so hard to process. And I would go up to the instructor and I'd say, is there a reason why I keep getting all the tough cases? And he would just smile at me and nod his head and say yes and walk away. And I was like, huh? And then I realized, you know, once this happened, I realized that I actually I'd done enough healing work that I actually had the gift that I could help others to heal. So then I started, you know, trying to figure out what to do with this and started, I offered, like, a bunch of friends, like, free sessions if they would just give me a testimonial and putting up the webpage and stuff and just doing it out of my apartment.
But, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the New Life Expo is where you met Cam. And I have a friend, he's a wonderful, wonderful, I can't say enough wonderfuls about him. His name is Andrew Brewer, and he's a psychic. And among other things, he's also like yourself, you know, not just one iron in the fire. He's a psychic, and then he's into boxing, and he does everything. But he's really great because he's an authentic person. He's an authentic human being, just like you and me, and, you know, there are a lot of us. We're not the majority, but there are a lot of us. And Andrew is going to be at the New Life Expo this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So he's going to be there from the 21st to the 23rd. And if anyone wants to go over there and see Andrew or go to the New Life Expo, which it's a really wonderful experience. It's at the Hotel Pennsylvania on 7th Avenue between 32nd and 33rd Street, right across the street, really, from Madison Square Garden. And this is going to be Andrew's first live appearance as a psychic in New York City.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, get on over there because he is absolutely great.
Yeah, and, you know, the New Yorker Hotel is famous for something else, too. It is the hotel in which Nikola Tesla lived when he was in New York City, and it's where he transitioned, where he passed, where he ended his life.
Yes. I did not know that. That's where he lived, and that's where he passed. Wonderful. That man was another genius, pure genius, and just he doesn't get enough recognition.
Absolutely.
The other thing that's funny is I'm listening to you and I'm thinking when I was taking my Ewan Method classes with Leroy Maloof, and we'll get to him a little later. you know, I went to like three of the classes, and I also did the seminar on a webinar thing with Cam and Marnie. But I said the same thing. I'm in class with Leroy, and he's got all the stuff up and the polygrams and all the stuff and the writing and the protocols. I'm looking at this, and I can't. I mean, like halfway through, I'm saying, I cannot wrap my head around this. It was confounding me because do this and then go to this page, go to that thing, go here, go there. And I'm like, oh, dear God, I have to go through like 12 pages of stuff. And at one point, I just got so frustrated because I'm trying to keep everything because these modalities that you and I and we all practice are, I don't know how to say it, but it's like, there's a lot of skepticism from the scientific end and prove it to the, you know, nth degree. You know, what proof do you have that this energy works? It's like, you know what? We all know we use energy and everything is energy, but you don't necessarily see the energy. You don't see waves and particles, but they're working. They're there. So you don't question that, but you question these energy modalities. So here I am trying to take a more intellectual, scientific approach to my Ewan method. And at one point, I just didn't feel right. And I said, you know what? Screw it. And we were in pairs also. So I looked at my partner and I just zoned into her intuitively and psychically. And then I started to flow. And we started to do the work. And one of the interns that was there, she came over and she said, I said, I don't really think I'm doing this right. I really don't even know what I'm doing. She said, but I was watching you. She said, you did it perfectly. I said, yeah, but I have a confession to make. I didn't do it the way it was laid out in the book, the way it's laid out in the protocols. I did this purely from intuition. And she said, well, yeah, that's the way you're supposed to do it. So I was very confused at the beginning. And then when I started doing it from intuition, then it works beautifully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really something that, you know, the way you really master becoming a healer is when you make whatever you're working with your own. Because there's nobody that I know that does, you know, anything exactly the way they learned it, whether you're doing Reiki or Theta healing or pranic healing or any of these things. It's not really as effective until you kind of relax into it and just kind of do it the way it feels right for you. And it may be just a little different. It may be very different. And actually now, I don't call what I do by what I had learned a lot of the things because I realize, you know, it's grown and it's changed and I've incorporated different things in it together. So, you know, now I just call these two modalities, I call it neutrality point therapy and energetic field therapy, which are my own names that I give to what I do. Because they're not exactly like what I learned, because
right.
I've learned so many different things, and I've kind of put it all together in a unique way, so it's different.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really good. And, when you see it working, you're going, okay, it's working. But, well, like when I teach Reiki, a lot of my students get caught up in, well, I didn't do all the hand positions. And I tell them, I'm like, don't worry about it. It's not like, yes, you must do every hand position because really, truly, Reiki is an intuitive modality. Mikao Usui, when he practiced Reiki and taught Reiki, did maybe 5 positions. And from that point going forward, it was all intuition. So it's really, you know, trust your intuition. And I think we're coming more into that now because, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I'm natural born psychic, and I always, when I was a child, I went by my gut feelings. I went by my intuition. I was led by it, and I followed it. But when I got to around young adult teenage years, you know, my friends and people started saying, well, don't tell people you hear things, you hear spirits. Don't tell people you see auras, you see, you know, spirits. But they're going to think you're crazy. They will lock you up. So I was like, okay, so now I won't tell anybody this. And I ran in the closet and I stayed there for many years. I mean, I would do readings for friends. I would do healing for friends. I would give messages to friends, but out in the general public, oh, no, I didn't want to get carried away in front of the straitjacket. It was just not as accepted as it's becoming nowadays, and especially in the healing modalities. So I always kept that very quiet, but I'm very glad that it's coming out because really that's everybody's trying to find answers. And like they say, the answers are within us all. So if you're looking to answers, go within. And I think when they say go within, you can also add to that, go within and listen to your gut, listen to your intuition. If you do that and you put aside all the outside chatter and stuff, then you will be, find yourself on your right path, because we all have different paths, but you'll find yourself on the right path for yourself. And your life will start to improve. It's when we start listening to other people's journeys and start listening to other people's dreams and, you know, what works for other people that we throw ourselves off kilter here. You think?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. You know, yeah. The one thing I wanted to say about something you said before is that, you know, I don't mind people being skeptical, and I tell people all the time, whenever I teach anything, whether it's my spoon bending workshop or law of attraction or healing or whatever I'm teaching, I always say, you know what, don't believe a word I say, but just be open and try it and see what works for you, because we all have a different experience, and, you know, some people are very resistant to energetic healing, and they will never admit that they feel anything, so fine, it's not for you then. But right. if you can just be open and let's just try it and see, you know, does it have a positive effect or not, you know, then we know what's what. Because let's face it, there are some people out there who are scam artists who say they're doing one thing and really aren't. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to be a little bit skeptical, but you can be skeptical but still be open-minded to at least experience different things.
Right. Yeah, that's only fair. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that are scamming people and BSing people all over the place. And, you know, look, I do this and pay me $3,000, $5,000, and, you know, but... yeah, just be open-minded, because like someone said to me, well, do I have to believe in Reiki for Reiki to work? I said, no, you don't have to believe in it, but you do have to be open to accepting and allowing healing to occur, because if
right.
you're going to come to any of us who do this kind of work for healing, and the person's going to sit there through the whole session going, you know, to themselves, well, this is just not going to work. This isn't going to work. Well, you know what? It won't. It won't.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Of course. You said you gave us a little bit of hint of how you became the conscious consultant. So it was through the becoming a healer that led you to becoming the conscious consultant.
Yeah, because, I mean, I went into doing all these healing seminars for my own healing, you know, because I knew there were things in my past that I really needed to get past and get through. So I was really taking all these things just for my own healing until I discovered I had an ability and a talent to help others with it. And you know, having been a computer consultant and a trainer and a teacher, I was just trying to figure out what's the next logical step. So it's like, well, I'm still a consultant, but I help people with their consciousness. I help people, you know, with their issues. And it's been wonderful because I've helped people from very physical things to emotional issues, to spiritual issues they've had. And, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes it takes a while. You know, everybody is different. It's so funny. I just had a woman come to me for some Reiki or some energy healing treatments, And you know, her first question is, how many do you think it's going to take? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It depends on you. Let's just do one and then see how you feel a couple of days afterwards. And if everything is good, then maybe that's all you need. And if not, then we can do more.
Right. Right. You got to take it, you know, as it comes, kind of. And it's like that with all of life.
Right, exactly. Because we're all individuals. You can't, I always, you know, kind of shy away from, you know, putting people in a box and saying, you know, well, everything is, everyone's always like this or like that, or it's always like this or always like that. You know, whenever I hear always or never, you know, if those are kind of extreme words, I always back away.
Yeah, definitely. I do the same thing. Have you noticed, because I noticed this a lot, have you noticed that people who do what we do, healers and people who facilitate healing and do different modalities, do you notice that we all kind of have this habit that it's like, oh, I'll help you, and I'm helping the world, and I'm going to help everybody, and you're going and doing, and you kind of forget to help yourself?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a symptom of a more sort of general issue, which is that most healers are what I call top-heavy, meaning that their upper chakras, their heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, the crown chakra, are open and activated and really strong and powerful, and their lower chakras, which are what really ground us to the earth, the root, the sacral, the solar plexus chakra, tend to be underactive. And so what happens is that it shows up and it kind of manifests in these symptoms where, you know, they're going around trying to heal everybody else and not taking care of themselves. They're not paying attention to their finances enough. They miss appointments. They start acting what you know people tend to call quote unquote flaky, and it's because they're not working on really grounding the energies. They're all up in the sky. And they're not really walking with 2 feet on the ground. So I always try and work with people like that to grounding them. You know, they're enough up there. The intuition is great. All that stuff's great. But, you know, you have to be well grounded unless you're taking care of yourself. And that means taking care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, you can't give from a place of weakness. Because
exactly.
Then the person you're giving to isn't really getting what they need, and you're just feeling more depleted.
Right. Because I know a lot of times people say, you know, I'm really not feeling good, but I have to do this healing. And I'm like, how could you do a healing if you're not feeling good? You know, if I'm not feeling 100% myself, I don't take appointments, I don't do readings, I won't, you know, because you have to be 100%. It's good to be compassionate and love people and want to be there to help. But sometimes
right.
You have to stop and wait and say, well, wait a minute, if I'm not 100%, how can I give to this person? Like you just said,
right.
You know, you can't give what you don't have. And if you're depleted, then you don't have. So, you know, take a mini vacation, rest a couple of days or something, ground yourself, heal yourself, get yourself balanced and together. And then, you know, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. If I'm not feeling well, I don't do a healing session.
Yeah. And I know quite a few people that if they're not feeling well, they just don't do whatever it is they do, whether it's readings, modalities, they just, nope, won't do it. And even if you have an appointment with this person and they happen to, you know, not feel right on that day, they'll call and say, look, I have to reschedule because, you know, your health is the primary thing in your life. So it's not like being a stockbroker in the 80s where you'll run yourself into the ground because, well, you know, I may be on the ground, but I've made $1 million. Thank God that mentality is gone. But
right.
Yeah, it's all taking care of yourself. And I know Pamela Miles has this thing now, self-Reiki. It's all over the place, which is great because I do it. And I encourage my students to do it. And it's like, you have to do self-Reiki. You've got to do self-treatment every day for more reasons than one. But, you know, if you just want to be healthy, physically. That's a definite, but you want to be healthy physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. So you have to. I had one student said, well, I'm doing the Hatsureho thing. I said, you know what? Better you should do self-treatment and put Hatsureho on the back burner. We'll do it once a week, but self-treatment, taking care of yourself daily, that's really where you want to be. So, yeah.
Totally. Jeanette, totally.
Yeah, I think we have a caller. Let me see. I think I know who this is. Good evening, 718. Is that you, Joseph?
It is I. I just really tuned in now because I've been trying to get online on my computer and I couldn't get the program. Something's wrong with my computer. So I really didn't catch you from the beginning, but what I'm hearing so far is so invigorating and illuminating. As always, your programs are always so interesting. And hats off to your guest. He sounds like a very interesting and knowledgeable man. And you know, I perceive a lot secondly by people's vibration, by their voice. And he seems to be a really charming and a wonderful man. And he knows his subject, even though I didn't hear the show from the beginning. And he's got some very good points, and I'm really enjoying this show. But I have
that
no choice to listen by phone because I can't get on the computer to hear you. And so I had company here. They just left my Florida cousins, you know, just pulled out. And so I'm trying to listen to the show attentively. But I'm enjoying it immensely, and I will continue to listen. And before the show's over, I may call back in and have some comments. From what I heard so far, although you guys, you know, really, your subject really resonates with me. And of course, you know, I'm your friend for many years, your student, and you know how I do talk about Reiki. I thought you were talking about me. I sell Reiki every day, sometimes three times a day, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful healing factor in my life besides my own spiritual work for many, many years. So you guys, kudos to you. Keep up the good work. What you're doing is wonderful, and I just hope it catches on worldwide and everyone practices every day. So I'll continue to listen, okay?
Joseph.
Yes.
Do you have any questions for Sam?
No, because I really didn't get to hear the program from the very beginning, so I don't have any questions. I want to continue to listen, and then I'll have comments or questions, if at all.
All right? Great. Thanks for calling in.
All right, lovely. God bless you. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yes, that's Joseph. That's my friend of 30 years who is a psychic. I met him looking for a good tarot card reader many years ago. We became friends, and he kind of went backwards. Like a lot of people, they'll go into Reiki, and they'll then tap into their intuitive abilities, and then they want to learn, you know, they want to develop psychically. But Joseph came the opposite way around, and he really did take to the Reiki. And so it's fantastic. It was like, okay, this is what Reiki is, you're attuned. I could have taught him his level one in about a half an hour. But he did the whole class, though. But, okay.
Wonderful, wonderful. It sounds like you have a real loyal fan there.
Yeah, I do. And he is really the best friend I have. I love him. I trust him. He's absolutely fantastic. I can't say enough about him, enough good things about him. We do have someone else. Let's see who this is. Hi, 860. Welcome to Violet Rose Reiki. I'm here with Sam Leibowitz. Who are we speaking to?
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I'm really enjoying your show, and I was looking at his websites and saw that he does EMDR. And I wanted to know more about that.
Sam, tell us more.
Okay, so I just want to let you know, I personally don't do EMDR. That's actually the therapist who works at the Wellness Center at Double Diamond Wellness. She is trained, certified in EMDR, which is a wonderful, wonderful modality, which is based on eye movement to help people to process trauma. And it's been around about 20 years. It became very popular after 9/11 because they used it to treat a lot of the first responders, the firefighters and policemen, because they were so traumatized with the things they saw and what they experienced. And it was proven to be very, very effective for helping people to move past the trauma. And it's not like talk therapy. It's not where you have to necessarily relive the trauma, but it helps to stabilize between the right and left brain to help to take the emotional charge off the trauma. So you still remember it, but it doesn't have the emotional charge anymore. So you're able to move forward and live in a more conscious way, I would say.
And do you have any other recommendations besides EMDR for that sort of problem, for the PTSD?
For the PTSD, it's one of the things that she specializes in. A therapist, her name is Hong Zhang. She also happens to be my wife. Is a wonderful therapist. She worked at Henry Street Settlement for 10 years with very severe mentally ill people, and now she's in private practice at the center. And she also does another healing modality called sand play therapy, which is where she has, and when you see the center, it's full of all these little toys and miniatures that she has in the room, and there's a sandbox in the middle of the room, and basically you use these miniatures to create a scene in the sand. But what's really going on sort of underneath the surface is it's the unconscious mind sort of using these miniatures as different archetypes and creating this scene in the sand as a way of working out whatever it's trying to deal with at the time. And so we've noticed a tremendous success with helping people with doing the sand tray therapy. And I really have to say that, you know, given that we have a lot of alternative healers at the center, the most sort of mainstream of them is the psychotherapist Hong. But because she's kind of on this path with me, she's also very aware and you know, does many different things. I mean, she also does, you know, talk-based therapy. She does journey work. She does a lot of things. So she integrates it all into her practice. And again, given that people are individuals, you know, she'll look for what is most appropriate for the person in the given situation.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I have to tell you I'm very, very blessed with, that I've attracted some wonderful practitioners to the center. So, I mean, besides myself doing energy medicine and my wife, who's a psychotherapist, we have an amazing naturopathic doctor, a great acupuncturist, a woman who does biofeedback, quantum biofeedback, and hand analysis, who can literally, from looking at your hands, tell you your whole life story, tell you your soul's purpose and your life's mission, and what are your challenges you're dealing with and how you can work with them. I tell you, I just am, every time I think about it, I feel, you know, warm inside because I'm amazed at the wonderful people we've attracted to the center.
Sounds like a magical place.
It is. You have to come visit. If you're ever on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, please stop by. We're right on 72nd Street.
72nd Street. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for the show. We love it.
Great. I'm glad you love the show. Tell your friends about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Have a good night.
Be well. Take care, Lisa. Thanks for calling and chatting with us.
Okay. Bye-bye.
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 Okay.
Wow. Two callers in a row. We're hot.
Yeah, wow. I think this is the most callers I've had in the show. People just don't want to call in. They're so shy. It's like I put the number up all over the place. And it's like somebody said to me, what do you mean people don't call into your show? I said, they don't. you said something that really caught my ear about the hand reading, the lady who does the biofeedback and everything, because many years ago, I was in Italy, and I was by myself. I'm having dinner in the hotel, and this Indian gentleman came over, and he said, you know, would you mind if I joined you? And I'm like, yeah, I'll pull up a seat, no problem. And he's looking at my hands. And I mean, I've heard of palm reading. We've all heard of palm reading where they turn your hand over, they look at your palm and they say, okay, you're this, you're that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Okay, fine. But, I mean, Sam, it blew my mind. This was about maybe, I don't know, 35, 40 years ago. He blew my mind because he's telling me things about myself and I'm sitting there going, how does he know this? I don't know this guy from a hole in the wall. And I said to him, how are you, what is up with this? And he said, I'm reading the tops of your hands. And I'm like, oh my God, I never knew that there was such a thing, a knowledge and whatever, that you could do that. So that's amazing.
Yeah, this actually, Jean, the practitioner who does that, her name's Jean Worth. And she studied that there's actually a hand analysis institute in California that was started like 25 years ago by this gentleman, and I forget his name at the moment, but she was like in his first class, and she really is wonderful at it. And, you know, it's not just looking at the lines on the hands, but, you know, she looks at the shape of the hand, the length of the fingers, you know, how it responds when you press against it, and it's really just amazing, and especially like when I had a session with Jean, like some of the things she said were like the exact same things that the guy said when I had an astrology reading about my natal chart, and also very similar to some of the things that Julian Michael, the amazing numerologist, said when I got a numerological reading from him. So, you know, it's really quite interesting, you know, how all these different aspects of ourselves are interrelated.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. So everybody who's listening, you got to contact the Double Diamond Wellness Center. They're up on 125 West 72nd Street. Right, Sam?
Yep, that's us.
And that's off of Columbus Avenue?
Yeah, and it's right on 72nd Street between Columbus and Amsterdam. We're literally like a half a block from the 123 train station at 72nd Street.
Oh, cool. And the phone number there, guys, is 212-721-8183. And you can also get them on the internet. It's www.doublediamondwellness.com. So give a call, give a look, check it out. They've got wonderful services. And tell them Sam and Rose sent you.
yeah. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Cool. So now you mentioned you do a lot of things, Sam. You have the energetic field therapy, and what was the other one you had mentioned? Basically, these are your two most used therapies.
Neutrality point therapy.
Okay, is that anything like NLP or no?
No, that's kind of the outgrowth from Cam's work, from Ewan Method and a couple of other things.
Okay. Wow, so that's good.
And the energetic field therapy used to be called celestial light healing, but it's really a combination of that plus Reiki plus theta healing plus, you know, some other modalities too. And it's also kind of grown and changed, and as I've developed my own sort of intuitive abilities, it's really shifted. And the way I like to explain that to people, because people ask all the time, well, what is it? And I said, well, it's basically, you know, I'm channeling, holding space for all of these divine beings to come in, and they make a frequency shift within you. And then once that frequency shift has been made, it will then manifest out into physical reality. But you have to shift the frequency first. And it's very relaxing. Many times the clients like fall asleep during the middle of the session. But it's very powerful, very high energy.
That is so wonderful because I know even with me, a lot of times I'll be doing Reiki and the person will fall asleep, and I love it. And they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry I fell asleep. I apologize. And I'm like, no, actually, you gave me the greatest compliment anyone could, because if you got that relaxed to the point where you're falling asleep, then I've done my job well. So no, right, not a problem. Right. I thank you. So
yeah.
So now I know you told us about the Double Diamond Wellness, but what really makes the Wellness Center different from the other centers out there?
Well, you know, most people, when they say they have a wellness center, my experience has been it's usually one of two things. Either it's a spa where you can go and get a massage and sit in a sauna or something like that, or it's an individual practitioner, like a chiropractor or acupuncturist, who maybe has a couple extra rooms and rents them out to some other practitioners or something. It's really just an individual practitioner trying to make what he has something bigger. We're really, from what I've found, the only sort of healing center where there are several different practitioners who all do something different and look at things from different perspectives. And that really makes for a very powerful combination. And we've had some people come in with very chronic illnesses, and they might see the naturopathic doctor first, and then she'll recommend that they get some acupuncture treatment. But then maybe they have some emotional issues, and then they see the psychotherapist, and maybe they feel like they need some energetic work, so then I may work with them. So it's like it's one place where we can really take care of, like, all different aspects of a person. You know, some people, they come in, they just want to see the acupuncturist, or they're just coming to see the therapist. And then other people will come in and they'll try different practitioners, because this way we have, like, a real holistic view about what's going on in a person's life. Because, you know, as Cam likes to say, I'm a big believer that they're not really individual health issues, they're life issues. And
right.
You have to take care of the life issues in order to fully heal.
Right, right. Yeah, well, you know, it's like the more I hear about the center, and I knew about the center, but I really didn't focus on all the services and what you do, saying, yeah, I'll get to that when I have more time. But it's like I love to just come there and check in like a car gets a tune-up and say, okay, everybody have at me. Because
yeah.
You really do have a great list of services, and there's really good healing and stuff going on there. So, and it's not the usual run-of-the-mill stuff, because I find the same thing. Like people will say healing center, wellness center, and it's really not. It's just like, you know, you could get massage, or maybe they have acupuncture, but that's about it. It's like hair salons who call themselves, you know, well, we're a spa. You're a spa. What do you offer? It's like, well, you know, we can do massage, or you could get a facial and, you know, manicure. But to me, that's not a spa. So, you know, and every place says we're a healing center or a wellness center, and they want to give me a massage, or they want to give me like a microdermabrasion or what. That's really not a wellness center. But Double Diamond Wellness Center is most definitely a healing center, a wellness center, and sound like a pretty darn good one too. So, folks, again,
yeah,
I urge you, check them out on the internet, Double Diamond Wellness Center.
Thank you. And the other thing I think that makes us a little bit unique is that because we have, you know, a psychotherapist, and also because the prior owner, who was an acupuncturist, who had a very clinical approach to acupuncture, we tend to be much more clinically oriented, meaning that, you know, we really try and focus on getting the result that the client wants. You know, we're not just, oh, we just try this and see if you feel better or not. You know, we're really focused on things that will make a real difference in people's lives.
Yeah, and you're not running around like with sage and incense and bells and things going, you know, maybe that new agey, like hocus pocus stuff. It's definitely.
Yeah, well, I do like to burn incense in the center just to keep it smelling nice, but
right.
And cleaning it a little bit, but no, that's not part of a treatment.
Right. Great. I don't know if Joseph has a question, because I see the little question thingy pop up here. Let's see. Joseph, do you have a question, sweetie?
No, I don't. I have a comment. You touched on a subject that was very dear to my heart a little while ago about palmistry and chiromancy, and I just wanted to comment, as you well know, I don't ever or have never you know, said that I am a good palmist or palm reader, because that isn't my forte, and I don't use it. But always from as a child, and being of gypsy ancestry, it's just innate in our blood. I've always looked at people's hands, at the shape, more so than the lines, which I know how to do, and I've studied in later years in adulthood palmistry and all that, and chiromancy. But always innately, I always looked at people's hands, and I could tell so much just by the shape of the hands. And so there's definitely, and of course I learned in later years, there is a more scientific approach to it, by whatever title, of course. And our ancestors brought to the Western world from India, the gypsies, and a lot of them use it today as a profession, or maybe people think it's just, you know, bougie and trickery. But there is a great, great science to it, as your guest well knows, and he's mentioned. And so I just wanted to add to that and comment. But I, even when I do my spiritual readings, be it straight psychic or tarot, I'll sometimes say to somebody, let me see your hands. And just looking at their shape before I even turn them over, if I do and look at their palms, and I can see a lot of things. But the shape of the hands and the way people, the gestures and the movement of the hands, I can sit on a trip. I don't travel anymore, as you know. I'm homebound. But on public transportation, on a bus, I'm not with people watching with all those planets in Gemini. I watch people. And I love it. I could look at someone's hands and tell so much about their life. And then, of course, the information comes flowing through me psychically in addition, so I have that advantage. But just by looking at someone's hands, I can tell so much about them without even speaking a word to them and not even hear the vibration of their voice. So I thank you for bringing that up, and I'm enjoying the show, and I'll let you go with that. Okay?
Okay, thank you. We'll
You're
talk
welcome.
Thanks, Joseph.
You're welcome, sir. I'm really enjoying this. And the center actually is where I actually studied and became an ordained minister at the Insomnia Hotel. I don't know if you're aware of this and you're in the area, but many years ago in the heyday of spiritualism, the Insomnia Hotel, besides being Diamond Brady, whatever his name was, and Lillian Russell, was a big, big, big mecca of spiritualist psychics and mediums. And there's still a few left there till today, but that's where I graduated from, the psychics out of the Insomnia Hotel. So I just shared that with you. So I know that area very dear to my heart. And there used to be a famous Jewish deli on 72nd Street. I don't remember the name now. I used to go have the greatest lockers there when I was a teenager going to ministerial school.
It's still there.
It is.
Fine
what was the name
Shapiro,
of it? Yep. Cats. I couldn't say Famous Deli, something like that?
No, Fine and Shapiro.
Ah,
Fine
there you go.
Shapiro.
All right, well, thank you so much. You made my evening.
All right,
bye-bye, guys. I'll continue to listen. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Fine and Shapiro. Oh, good. God, the word escapes me. More incentives to get to the Double Diamond Wellness Center.
That's right. We have great lockers across the street.
I mean, God, good deli. If that doesn't drive you people to go there, I don't know what will. But, yeah. So now you're a coach and a mentor, you said.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I don't usually like to call myself a coach too much because, you know, so many people these days call themselves a coach, but they've never really done anything themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you coach people around business or personal or career when you haven't really experienced that much of life yourself? So really, I look at what I do more as kind of mentorship because I've been an entrepreneur since 1993. I've had businesses in more than half a dozen different industries. And, you know, I've been teaching people about how to start their own business for a number of years. And when I first started, you know, I would do these seminars about all the theory and the structure and this and that and how to do things. And then people would start to ask me, well, what about your own story? What about you? And I was like, oh, you want to hear my story? I was like, shocked. So I started telling them my stories of different things that I've done and different experiences I had. And to my surprise, they liked that better than all the other stuff. I'm like, but I'm giving you great information here. If I had realized that my experience had tremendous value. So I do have, you know, a number of clients who, you know, maybe they're stuck or maybe they're having a hard time balancing their career with their spiritual life or personal life or their relationships. So I kind of work with them in a very intuitive way because I have sort of developed all of these, you know, intuitive and energetic skills. But, you know, you can apply them to anything. It doesn't have to be just for healing. It can be, you know, mentoring is, and coaching is a type of healing too. but then, so when I work with the person, I kind of get a feel for it. So they may be telling me something like, well, you know, my boss at work, he's like this and like that, and always gets me very upset. I can't stand him. I'm like, now let's see, why did you attract this person into your life? I said, has anybody else in your life ever made you feel this way before? And I'm thinking, like, it's got to be his dad. And he's like, well, you know, when I was a kid, my dad used to kind of treat me like that. And I'm like, bingo, you know, it's father issues that are just replaying themselves to teach him a lesson. So, you know, a lot of that is, you know, looking at what is the underlying energetic pattern of where they're stuck, and then I help to shift their perspective and help to give them certain distinctions to really empower them to make the changes. You know, I'm a big believer in that, you know, in really educating people and really empowering people to change their own lives, and I'm just a guide.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm noticing this more and more because I'm applying it in my own life. Instead of finding yourself in a situation and looking at it negatively and like bitching and moaning and complaining about it, if you approach it with the thought, okay, this is not the greatest situation. It's really not a situation that I would pick for myself to be in. However, there's got to be a lesson in here somewhere for me. And it's to my best interest to learn all these lessons that are presenting themselves to me, because this is the only way, or this is one of the ways in which I will grow. And that's what I want, because that's what I'm here to do. I'm here on this planet at this time, in this physical body, on this physical plane, to grow and enlighten myself, you know. So I noticed when I shifted the whole approach, instead of saying, oh, I hate this, it's terrible, I get it, when I shifted the whole approach, the whole energy changed and a lot of things developed on a positive note for me.
Right, so, absolutely. I'm a big believer in the fact that everything is actually perfect, and that when we take the attitude that the universe is perfect, just the way it is. So if the universe is perfect, there must be some perfection in this given situation that I'm not seeing. So what is there for me to learn from this? What is the teaching here for me that I'm not seeing? What is the potential growth that's happening here? You know, I'm a big believer that if we ask ourselves more empowering questions, then we feel much better about the situation. Then what had been a challenge is now an amazing learning opportunity. And that when you just shift that perspective, everything changes and life becomes much, much easier. Because it's really what causes the most trouble is ourselves judging a particular situation as good or bad. And it's our judgments that really screw things up. And if we just reserve judgment, I tell people, look, just for today, just tell yourself, just for right now, I'm not going to judge the situation. I'm just going to accept it as it is and see what I can do about it, what I can learn from it, and maybe tomorrow I'll say whether it's good or bad. And then tomorrow, the same thing. Okay, I'm not quite sure yet. I'll just wait until tomorrow. If we can just reserve judgment for one day, amazing insights can come.
Right. So you're basically saying, you know, just keep it simple and take it day by day and don't judge and see what happens.
Right.
Yeah. It's exactly. My saying always is just let go and let the universe drive the bus. Stop trying to control everything, because the more we try and control things, the more out of hand everything gets. And the more you're asking, well, why is my life this way? But you've got a hold of that wheel, you know, the bus wheel, the steering wheel, as I say. It's like, if you don't want to let go of the wheel, then your life is still going to be a mess. What I'm saying is let go, let the universe drive the bus, and the bus will be going on your path. The problem is so many of us find it almost impossible to just let go. So you try it. Right. One day at a time. And then I know with me, years ago, I had chameleon syndrome because I had very low self-esteem, and I would change colors because just to have people like me, because I thought, you know, if nobody liked me, did me, no one in my life. And oh my God, poor me. So I was going from purple to orange to lime green to fuchsia to white to whatever. And then finally, it was a long, long time after that, that one day I had an epiphany. And I said, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I causing my own suffering? And I had connected that day with Divine Source. I mean, it was a wonderful feeling. It was the most beautiful feeling I had ever had in my life. And because, of course, I was sitting here having my very own pity party that day. And I'm like, wait a minute. God loves me. So if God loves me, I'm worthy. And I love me if God loves me because, hey, if he loves me, I'm good. So I love me. And I stepped out of my pity party comfort zone and decided, today is the first day that I'm going to be Rose. And I was like, forget it. And I just, you know, and day by day, as I was Rose, finally, authentically, truly Rose, I noticed, well, I might have lost a friend or two, but it wasn't like a general exodus that everyone I knew and all my friends said, oh my God, you mean you're this Rose, you're not this chameleon? It was okay. And that was a big part in learning just to let go and trust and see what happens for one day, 2 days, 2 weeks, a month. And then it got better and better as, you know, I went along. But yeah, impatience, wanting to control, giving into negative emotions, feelings, circumstances is just very, very detrimental to us all. But, you know, it's like a lot of people just don't see it. Like the saying goes, keep it simple. What is it? Keep it simple, sweetie, or whatever, KISS. I think everybody's looking for, what is it, Sam?
It's just keep it simple and stupid.
Keep it simple and stupid. Yeah, it's like everybody just is looking for complications. It's like, you know, to get to where I want to be, it's got to be complicated. I think we all complicate our own lives because of that. We just assume it's got to be complicated.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess that's human nature. I really don't know where that comes from, but we just assume complications. It's got to be complicated. It can't be simple because if it's simple, it's not worth anything, right?
Right. Well, you know, even Albert Einstein said that the most profound theorems, he said, were the ones that were the simplest and most elegant.
And I guess that went over a lot of people's heads, too, because like I said, we just keep wanting to complicate matters. And and I mean, even that very simple statement, let go and let God, it's so succinct, short, sweet, simple. And again, like I said, it's all in the letting go. Nobody wants to let go.
Yeah, well, that's why, Rose, that's why there are people like you and me here to just remind people to do it. And I think people are more open to that message than they've been in the past. So I think the more we keep reminding people of that, which they already know deep inside, the more people will live it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think it's just the same way we were all conditioned into not letting go little by little. I think we can be reconditioned or conditioned to actually letting go.
Right.
Now, how did you become a radio host? And you're not Blog Talk. You have your own internet station. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's kind of the same way also that we, you know, the center came into existence. And it was purely by serendipity. It was not planned at all. It just happened one night. A friend of mine was having a party in his apartment. And a mutual friend of ours brought this guy to the party and said, Sam, here, you got to talk to this guy, Giorgio. He's really cool. I'm like, okay. Hi, Giorgio. And he's like, look at me. And I'm like, so what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a acupuncturist, but I've decided to become a Buddhist monk and I'm selling off all my worldly possessions. I'm thinking, okay, that's kind of cool. That's different. And I'm thinking, you know, I network a lot. I know a lot of people. Maybe I know lots of practitioners. I'm like, well, you know, maybe I can help you sell your acupuncture practice, because I'm not an acupuncturist. My wife's not an acupuncture practice. I've had acupuncture, but I don't really know anything about the business. And he keeps talking and talking, and then he mentions, yeah, and I also have this internet radio station. I'm like, wait a minute, acupuncturist, internet radio station. This sounds a little familiar. I said, what's your last name? He says, Rapetti. I was like, ah, you're Giorgio Rapetti. I know who you are because my friend Larry Sharp does a radio show on your network. And he's like, yeah, Larry's been with me a while. He's a good guy. So we talk a little bit longer, and he says, you know, why don't you just come on in next week, and we can talk about it and, you know, see what happens. So, you know, I came in with the intention of just learning about his business, learning about this stuff, and I'd find somebody, I'd help him to sell the business, maybe give me a little, couple of bucks on the side for helping him, that'd be it. And after sitting down and talking with him for like 2.5 hours, and I'm realizing it's like two businesses for the price of one, and he's willing to give terms, I'm like, this is such a good deal. I jokingly said to him, if I can't, you know, find someone to buy your business, I'll buy it myself, you know, not really being serious. But then when I went home that night and talked to my wife, she was like, forget helping him to sell. Let's just buy it ourselves. And I go, okay, yeah. And so we took over his acupuncture practice. We brought in an acupuncturist for him to train in his particular method. Given that I do, you know, energy healing, my wife was a therapist, and I had a friend who did biofeedback, so we made it the place from a just an acupuncture practice to a general wellness center. But then I really dove into the radio station. I really, when he explained to me the idea, and although I had no background in broadcast, I don't even think I'd ever been on the radio. I'd been interviewed on TV, you know, a few times, so I've never been on radio, but I have a background in public speaking, and I have a background in technology. So he started to train me for like 1 month. That was it. And then it was like, I remember even just after a week or two, he said, okay, I can't come in tomorrow. You have to run the whole thing by yourself. And I'm like, what? And you know, it really, like, you know, threw you into the fire was his method of teaching. But I think that
was on purpose. Yeah.
No, it was totally on purpose. And I knew that he could have come in if he wanted to. He just did it
right.
to kind of, you know, really give me the full experience. And so then I started doing my own show. I started building up the network. And that's what, you know, when I meet a lot of people, they think it's just one show. It's just my show. And it's not. It's a whole network of people. And we have several hosts who do all kinds of different things. But, you know, I did a show called the Conscious Consultant Hour. It just seemed to make sense, and really about raising people's consciousness and helping them to bring more awareness to all different aspects of their life. You know, I mean, primarily focus on spiritual teachers and different healers and stuff, but I also bring in business people. I also bring in authors and thought leaders. So I try and make it a very well-rounded show. And it's been a lot of fun.
And who are some of the guests? Not some of the guests, I'm sorry. Some of the hosts and what are their shows?
So some of the other shows, we have Montgomery Taylor, who's an amazing Jungian astrologer.
Love Montgomery Taylor. Yes, thank you. I'm not always around when the show's on. I think it's 12 noon, but I listen to that show religiously. I love him, and I love the fact that, you know, he's one of your hosts.
Yes, he's a wonderful host. He weaves together mythology and archetypes and Jungian psychology and astrology with cycles of time. He's just so, so, so insightful. So his show is called Living Consciously. We also do a show to promote the Wellness Center called the Double Diamond Hour, which I co-host with the center's naturopathic doctor. We have a show on music called the Music Power Hour, which is by two singer-songwriters who are also healers and Reiki masters, Sloan Wainwright and Austin Marola. And I have to say, our claim to fame as a station is that Sloan Wainwright is the aunt of Rufus Wainwright, who is a pretty famous musician. His song Hallelujah was very popular, was in the movie Shrek. He did the music to Bridget Jones's Diary and Moulin Rouge. He's really a wonderful musician, and his aunt Sloan is an excellent musician too, and the whole musical family. I then also have a wonderful business coach who does a show called The Business Tree. Talks all about startups and business plans and marketing and social media, you know, all the stuff that like any business owner needs to really start and build a small business. And then I have one of my most successful hosts is Tony Martinetti, who does a show called Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, which is all for small and mid-sized nonprofits. And he does a wonderful show interviewing all kinds of consultants and authors for nonprofits, you know, so that small and mid-sized nonprofits can have access to this information that the larger nonprofits use, because, you know, there's so many small and mid-sized nonprofits that have great missions trying to help people and you know, bring water and education and schools and all this stuff to the world, but they need more support. And so he does a wonderful radio show, and I'm very happy to say that his radio show also got picked up by a couple of FM stations in California, and he just told me this, like, just a couple of weeks ago. I just found out about this, and they said to him that one of the main reasons why they decided to pick up his show and syndicate it was because they liked the fact that it was done in studio at our center, and the audio quality is very high quality. And that's one of the things that I really let people know that distinguishes Talking Alternative from other internet radio stations, is that all my hosts come into studio. Sometimes the guests are in studio, sometimes the guests are on the phone, but the quality of the production is very high. We really try and be like a hybrid between like broadcast and internet. And I also have several new shows that are going to start in April sometime. I have several new hosts. I got one guy who's super excited, who's going to do a show called Burners to Business Owners. It's all about, like, people go to Burning Man, like, how to, you know, this new generation of free-spirited people, like, how to be more entrepreneurial and business-minded. I'm having these three French women come on and do a show called Pardon My French. That's all about sort of French culture and like being expatriates and, you know, French, but in another country, and interviewing all kinds of famous French pop culture idols. So that one I'm looking forward to. And another gentleman is going to do a show called Revival of the Fittest. That's he's a big home remedy guy, and like how to take care of yourself, how to grow your own food, how to you know, like, create things at home so that we can be much more self-sufficient. And it's amazing, you know, when you're researching and listening to this guy, just how much we can really do for ourselves that we just, you know, don't think about. We just always are going to the store and buying something. But, you know, these days with the weather being so crazy and everything is so changeable, you know, you never know when there might be some issue happens and you know, all of a sudden, you know, like when Sandy hit and people were without power for days and some areas weeks, you know, that he teaches you the skills to really how to weather those kinds of conditions and really, you know, thrive, not just survive.
Right. It's like, yeah, I mean, visions of Sandy. When we had Sandy, it's funny because when I was looking for a house, I said to the real estate agent, you know, these are my must-haves. And I said, I must have a working fireplace, a real, actual fireplace that I can light wood, you know, and burn. I know, like, the gas fireplaces and the things with the cans and stuff, they're clean, they're pretty, they're lovely, but I'm always thinking, okay, what if there's a real problem? And so I thank God that I had a real fireplace, because my mission was, my whole method for 4 weeks was go to work at the crack of dawn, come home by about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, stoke the fireplace full of wood, get a roaring fire going so that I could, if I had to, heat up dinner, I could. And I heated up boiling water to mix with cold water so I could take a hand bath. And then the fire would go out, and I'd run upstairs into bed under 2 down comforters, get up in the morning, wash my face, get dressed, and get out the door to my office where I had heat and electricity and everything. It was like, oh, dear God. it's very good to learn how to survive without these modern conveniences and all this technology, because you never know. And the day may come where you need to you know, survive. So, wow, the shows the lineup sounds fantastic. I'm really glad you bought the radio station. Good move.
Thank you. Me too. It's really been a wonderful thing, and you know, it's really expanded a lot since I took it over. Because at the time I took it over, you know, he only had a couple of hosts who were in a couple of countries around the world, had a listenership of a couple of hundred a month. I mean, now we're heard in over 110 countries around the world, and we have a listenership of between 35 and 45,000 a month, which is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, it's still not huge. But as more hosts come on board and as we continue to do, you know, things that we're doing, the more and more people find out about us and it grows. But it really amazes me, especially when I see how international our listenership is. And I even one time, I tell you, it always chokes me up when I think about this thing. I was doing a radio show. I was going to interview this guy from England who was a hostage negotiator, except he never called into the show. And I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't get a hold of him in England. And it turns out that there had been a situation in a prison, and they needed him to come to help negotiate the release of some, you know, the prison guards who the inmates were holding. And so I'm just talking on the show off the cuff about negotiations and how we have to negotiate everything in our lives and negotiate with our families and even with your children, trying to get them to put down their cell phones when you're having dinner and stuff. And in the middle of the show, this guy calls in and he says he's calling in from New Delhi, India. And he's telling me how, like, oh, I can't believe you're talking about this. I have the same issue with my kids. It's so hard with family, trying to get them to just pay attention and have a nice family dinner together and stuff. And I'm just thinking, you know, we have an 800 number, but it's only good in the United States. If this guy's calling from New Delhi, India, he's calling on his own dime. Like, I really was so touched that here was this gentleman from halfway around the world who I was able to touch and help him with his situation and give him some distinctions to make it better. And I never in a million years ever thought that I'd have, you know, the ability to do that. You know, if you had told me 10, 15 years ago what I'd be doing today, oh, I would have laughed so hard. I would have told you were crazy.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. Yeah, same here. If anybody would have told me I'd be doing this, I'm like, huh? Who knows, you know, so let's see, we're down to 8 minutes. Sam, you have any new projects you're working on right now that we can look forward to?
New projects that I'm working on. I've been getting a lot of speaking engagements lately, which is nice. But I am working. I realized that with all of my experience running the radio station, that it's actually very powerful stuff. And so I'm starting to work on a book about using internet radio to help you build your brand and build your business. And then I'm actually starting a whole separate coaching program for people who have internet radio shows or podcasts but aren't necessarily in talking alternative. So I'm starting to do some media coaching as well because I've learned a lot about how to really use it wisely and all the little tips and tricks about doing all these different things. So I'm now starting to coach, because normally I only coach people on that stuff who become hosts on my station, but now I realize, you know, there's a much wider audience that needs help, so I'm sort of splitting out that part to help people. And another thing that I'm now, I should mention, is I've partnered with a good friend of mine who I've known for over 3 years now, brings wonderful guests to me that I bring on my show, Mel Finnerty, who has a company called Sacred Gatherings and Events. And she basically, I'm now working with her to help promote sacred healers and teachers and channelers who, let's say, you know, are here in New York or from elsewhere, and they're trying to develop more of a presence in New York. And so we, you know, set up events for them. We promote them on social media, get flyers out about events, and come up with sort of a whole plan for them of how to, you know, approach things in New York City, where they can do it. We arrange everything in the event stuff. So I'm very, very excited about my new partnership with Mel Finnerty of Sacred Gatherings and Events. And if anyone wants to take a look at that, we've got Jagadish just came to town, who's an amazing, amazing teacher and healer. The website, I'll give you a short version of the website, which is Sacred, SacredGAE, for gatheringsandevents.com. So SacredGAE.com, and you can find out all about that.
Great. Fantastic. Wow. Yeah, you're busy.
Yeah, ain't no moss growing under my feet.
Yeah, well, and, you know, being busy, that's a good thing. And there's certainly enough, a lot of people who need the healing and need this. I think, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, I thought this was supposed to be the new age and things were supposed to be different and the world was supposed to be a better place. I mean, you're not going to recreate this world and make it a better place overnight. But I think the last 2 years, 2013, 2014, now that we're going into, I think we're doing much more than we've ever done. I think, you know, we're growing in leaps and bounds. And there's just something about the energy. I don't know if you feel it also, but there's something about the energy of 2014. I feel like I'm traveling at warp speed. Days are going by much quicker, months, weeks. Things are just like whoosh, and it's like, wow, that went really quick. Do you feel
yeah.
What's
this
going on?
Well, you know, to me, 2013 felt very quick, but mm-hmm. kind of a little bit of a bumpy ride. To me, 2014 feels like more flow. But, yeah, it does feel like there's more going on, there's more to do. But to me, it feels like more flow, things are more open. I feel like there's breathing room now that I didn't feel before.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. You know, sometimes people make comments like, you know, there was so much energy, I couldn't sleep last night, and a lot of good energies, I think, and especially now in the March period of 2014, I think now the year is starting to finally come into
right.
its own,
well,
although...
Absolutely, and happy spring equinox to everybody. Happy
yeah.
spring, the first day of spring of the new season.
Yes, yes. So this is definitely the time to get yourself aligned in thought with what you want to do to better yourself and how you want to bring more of a positive attitude and positive manifestations into your life. So, you know, there are people out there to help you. Sam and I are two of them, and there are many, many more. So you can do it. You can turn your life around. You can make your life as wonderful as you could possibly dream it to be. I want to thank you so much, Sam, for being on the show with me. It was wonderful having you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Rose. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I really want your listeners to know, if there's anybody out there that I can help, please feel free to reach out to me. You can call me at the center or email me. You can email me through the websites. And I actually have a really great show tomorrow at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com. I'm interviewing Alexander Dunlop, who has the Center for Spiritual Nutrition. But the essence of his teaching is all about the deck of playing cards and how the whole book of life is in a deck of playing cards. And if you know your card is and you know what cards is being dealt, you can make the most out of your hand.
Isn't that interesting? Because long before tarot cards, readers were reading off of a plain deck of cards. And it was the kind of...
Yeah, and he's going to talk all about where those playing cards come from and how you can use them to help you.
And when is he going to be on, Sam?
Tomorrow, Friday the 21st, March 21st, from 11 to 12, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on TalkingAlternative.com. You just go to the website. The live player should turn on automatically. If it doesn't, you scroll down a little bit on the right-hand side. There are a bunch of buttons. You can pick which player you want to use. But the live player should just come on.
Cool. And I don't have anything scheduled tomorrow, so I'm going to be listening live. And I hope a lot of you guys out there in my audience will be listening live also. Okay. Thank you so much,
great.
Sam. I know I'm going to ask you back again. It was lovely having you on the show, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Many, many well wishes and lots of love to you and your lovely wife. She sounds like a genius, Sam. She's a keeper.
Yes, she is. Thank you so much, Rose. You have a wonderful evening, and I look forward to doing this again with you sometime.
All right, great. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Take care.
Thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste.